On today's episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast, we're going to talk a bit more about the hop journey. And in particular, we're going to talk a bit more about what I consider the hardest part of the hop journey. Let's dive right on in. Here we go. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Hello, howdy, hi everybody. Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd Podcast, the Hop Nerd LLC. I've got my cold brew on deck, and I've got to say, it's getting low. I think I'm going to have to try to order me another one because I've got a long day ahead of me. It's super duper early, and what I usually do during the weeks that I'm home, and I do get to be home every now and again, and I'm really protective of my home time. I truly am. So when I travel like crazy. I don't even know how to describe it. Like, I feel almost like I go on tour sometimes. I mean, that's the closest thing that I can think of to describe what it feels like. I mean, and not like rock star jet setting parties, all the stuff that you think of like, I don't know, like old school 80s hair metal band kind of tour, but more like just here, there, everywhere on tour. Like, the weeks stack up and they stack together. You know, we have those conversations. So many of you that out there that listen, I come and help in your organizations, either delivering some workshops or hanging out, doing some consulting or doing some keynotes and leadership sessions and on and on and on and on, you know, the kind of stuff that we do. And you'll call me and you'll say, hey, do you have this week available? And I say, no, but I've got this one available and let's get that one. And that happens over and over to where the weeks just kind of all get strung together. It becomes this patchwork quilt, right? That just becomes this long strung together multiple weeks over a good amount of time, right? So about the longest that I've done that, where it's like week after week after week after week after week, it's probably been about 12 weeks straight. That sounds a little bit ridiculous, but it does happen from time to time to time. But what I like to do is make sure, back to being protective of my personal time, my home time, and it is home time, really, is the right way to put that, is I make sure that I never travel on the weekends unless it's just an absolute gotta. Like, you just gotta. This is important. We really need your help. Can you please fly up on a Sunday so we can get started first thing Monday? I'll do it. Yeah, absolutely, I'll do it. But I'm super protective. So even when those weeks get strung together, like, I'm just making sure that I've got those chunks of time off right in between. Like, I don't go from place to place to place to place unless they're just so tight that it makes no sense to come home, right? And then in those situations, I try my best, right? Especially in the summer months when Avery's off from school. And especially if Jarrell has PTO, because he works a full-time job on top of doing his stuff with Ivy Nerd, you know, our mobile IV infusion stuff that we do. I'll get them to come and see me, especially if we're somewhere cool, right? We'll go somewhere cool. Like, hey, I'm in Austin, Texas. Like, I was just in Austin, right? I'm in Austin, Texas. You should be here. Come hang out for a couple days, even if it's just for a couple days, right? I need my family time. I gotta have my family time. My family time re-energizes me, right? It truly does. But when I'm home, I have a bit of this routine. I don't just hang out. I'm a busybody. If you've been around long enough, you know that I'm a bit of a workaholic. Like, I love it. I genuinely love being busy. I'll complain and I'll moan about it and I'll go, oh my God, I've got so much to do. I've got to get up at 4 a.m. and I don't get to stop till 7. And like, I'm trying to get in better shape. So I'm going to the gym too. So it's like, I get done at 7. I go to the gym at 8. Right. And then by the time I get back from the gym, it's like 9, 9:30. And then I like, oh, I want to catch up on the stupid series that I'm watching. And then by the time I get in bed, it's midnight. And then I'm like, okay, I got to get up at 4. All right. But so when I'm home, I'm busy, right? I am. I'm super busy because I have to get caught up on all the stuff that I can't really do that well on the road. Like the podcast, this is something that I can do in a hotel room, but I just don't prefer it. I would rather do it here in my little office, in the studio, if we want to call it a studio, you know, working on videos and social media stuff and all the things that we share. I prefer to do it while I'm home. So that leads to me getting up bright and early in the mornings. Now, part of that process is if I'm getting up like pre 5 a.m., coffee it has to be ready to go, right? So I get up. Either I'll go get coffee, Jarrell will go get coffee. I grab the coffee. We go for a, you know, 15, 20 minute morning walk around the neighborhood. The sun's coming up. It's nice. It's still pretty cool in the mornings here in Phoenix. It's getting much hotter. And when I say cool, right, under 90 degrees in the morning is pretty cool in Phoenix, but it's nice. And we walk around and then I come in here and I talk to you. Now, this has been a really long story to tell you that I did that this morning, right? I did that this morning. We got up pre 5 a.m., got a nice big Starbucks cold brew. I walked around the neighborhood with it and I drank about half of it. I've done a bunch of other stuff this morning and sit down to record this podcast, to have this conversation with you. And I realized that my cold brew is just got maybe two drinks left in it. So at some point during this conversation, I might just have to pause and DoorDash some coffee because I've got another meeting coming up after this that I'm definitely going to need some coffee for. But welcome. I'm glad that you're here. Do me a favor, head over to the website, www.thehotnerd.com. Follow along on all things on social media. And really, really, that helps way more than you could ever imagine. Just clicking follow or connect with me, right? When you see us post stuff, if it resonates with you, share it. Like those little shares and likes, they go a long way into helping us take this message that much farther. Now, something else that you can do if you're into the podcast, if you're into all the stuff that we've got going on, if you go over to the website, you scroll down to the bottom, that little kind of bottom menu, and you just click join the mailing list. Join the mailing list. I send out the weekly check-in. You'll get info on new articles, new videos, new episodes, where I'm at, what I've got going on. Again, it's once a week. I won't spam me to death. I promise. It's just the same thing pretty much once a week that just gives you the download on everything that we've got new and published and coming up and where I'm at and all that kind of sort of stuff. And if you're looking for a fun way to support the show in particular, if you just click shop on the website there at www.thehotnerd.com, you can check out Operationally Curious Questions, Starting Points, right? And I get such good reviews on those cards. Leaders, in particular from frontline leaders, putting them to good use, using them in their meetings, their pre-shift meetings around huddle boards and kind of on, just shuffling the deck, grabbing a card and going to learn something. They just absolutely love them. And we got fun t-shirts and all those kind of wacky stuff in kind of my style, I guess. Like they look more, a bit more like punk rock t-shirts or band t-shirts. We try our best to keep them from looking like safety t-shirts or even hop t-shirts, right? We just try to keep it real and fun. And a lot of those are built on artwork that people have created for us around the show, which is super duper cool. So I doodle some stuff, you know that. I've shared that with you. Some friends that are like actual artists doodle some stuff for us. And we're just getting to the point because we've extended the invite, right? If you doodle, if you draw, if you design stuff and you're looking for something to doodle, draw, design, create something and make something for the show. Yeah, make something for the show. Send it over to thehopnerd@gmail.com. And a lot of times we're going to use it and we're going to turn it into a cover, like a podcast episode thumbnail, right? If you're listening on Spotify or you go listen on the website, you'll see those covers. I don't know how much that translates on iTunes because I just don't listen on Apple Podcasts. I just don't. So I'm used to my Spotify. But you'll see your cover come up there and we'll give you full credit for it. We'll tag you in it. We'll post it on social media, all that kind of sort of cool stuff. And if like you're super duper like into it, I'll make it into a t-shirt too. Like, I'm not opposed to that at all. And again, full credit, like, we're going to share all the stuff that you send to us with you tagged in it and all that sort of fun stuff. So if you are looking for a really cool way to collaborate with us, and that's what I think is cool, because it's not safety, it's artistic creation, expression. It's just something cool that we can do together. Draw us something, send it over, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Well, on today's episode, I wanted to touch a bit more on the hop journey, right? We've been talking about the hop journey off and on in different episodes, different elements of it, from a really broad view to a really focused view. We talk about it quite a bit because it's really important. It truly is really important to talk about. Now, the main thing that I really wanted to chat with you about today is what I consider to be the hardest part, the absolute hardest part of the human and organizational performance journey. And what that is really is the embedding part of hop, like the embedding over time part of hop. We tend to use that model that I think it was Andrea Baker had shared in a safetydifferently.com article way back when. I think it was back in like 18 or 19 or somewhere along those. And I really like that framework a bit, where we go with planning and interest, building hop fluency, operational learning, moving into alignment, and then really growing towards safeguard management. Now, we can expand that a bit and maybe in some different terms and call that, you know, this interest piece of like senior leadership, understanding, sponsorship, desire from throughout the organization. We could probably move that into building competence, really understanding current conditions and really starting to build a bit of a plan, a flexible plan. And you know this, we talk about this a bunch, and then really focusing on learning and integrating hop, and then evolving towards a really, 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 really stinking great approach to critical risk management, right? I think we could probably frame it up that way just a little bit. And I will back up and say that I'm a big proponent of, okay, there's interest, let's get started building some hop fluency. Let's get operational learning started right out of the gate, because it better informs our journey right out of the gate. All right, I think we can get some of those things started simultaneously, and it puts us in a much better position than just trying to like, okay, I got senior leadership stuff. Okay, I've got this. I've been building hop fluency. Okay, then I'm ready to focus on learning teams. I think you can do some of those things kind of together, as long as you spend a good amount of time laying the groundwork for learning teams first, right? You don't just want to go out there and say, okay, you guys go do learning teams now. Everybody go do learning teams. But whatever you bring out of that, we're going to blame, shame, and retrain you, right? Because then people are just going to say, screw you, you're dumb. I'm not going to do any of this stuff. I'll do the 7 learning teams that you tell me that I have to do now, because you know, picked a number out of the sky because you think you heard that learning teams are the next best thing since sliced bread. And I'll do those, and they're just going to be a big piled high steaming pile of garbage, of crap. Yeah, so don't do that. Right, but that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is I think you can run some of these things at the same time, which again is helpful, because I think we need to operationally learn, and we need to do that fast, right out of the gate, to the best of our ability, to better inform our journey, our plan, kind of where we're going. That's a great way to tap into that current condition, the as found state of our organization. I shared kind of how we did that when I was working internally to an organization over on the website. You know, the articles, this kind of growing hop, this starting out with hop, this kind of article that I've been publishing and republishing and republishing over time, because I add to it and I grow it. I talk about how we really went out with this idea of operationally learning without the improved part, something that we've now called learning explorations, but really hop focused listening sessions, where we come up with this kind of a bit of a generic set of really, really, really operationally curious questions, right? And then we went out and we spent time having this conversation, really listening, asking more interesting questions and receiving more interesting answers from throughout our organization, roughly, you know, 15% or so of those with every level of the organization. So a really, really good cross-section of the organization. And that was a really good starting point for us. Again, that's a great way to start operationally learning without maybe saying we're doing learning teams, right? You can just go out and do those hop focused listening sessions, discover that current lived reality within your organizations. And it really does a lot for you. But that's not the point of this podcast. If you want to learn more about that, again, go over to the website, thehopnerd.com. You can click on, I think we call it blog, right? A little on the nose, straightforward. You can click on blog and you just scroll on down and you'll see the title. It's called Growing Hop, right? It's Growing Hop. And then it says something like a brief guide or something like that. It's a pretty quick read. I think the estimate, hold on, I'm going to do this in real time. You ready? Because don't you love it when they give you the estimate on read time? So the blog says it's a 22-minute read. So it's not super thin. It's not super long. It's a, I would say, the right amount. But I keep growing it over time. But yeah, check that out. If you want to learn more about how we did some of those listening sessions, I talk about that a bit there in that article. So before we go on any farther and jump into the main, more focused topic that I wanted to talk a little bit about today, I will tell you that I did pause. Okay, I did pause. And I did order a cold brew, so it will be here before my next meeting. Just in case you were wondering, I didn't want to leave you on the edge of your seat wondering if I was going to run out of coffee and you'll hear me start talking like this. So it's on its way. So I'm pretty excited about that. I had to share that with you. But what I wanted to talk about was this, is that I think the most difficult part of our journey is that embedding hop over time piece. In different approaches, right, we'll call this, and it's probably this mixture between those two things that we just mentioned at the beginning, this mixture between senior leadership understanding, or maybe we'll just call it leadership understanding, and this that hop fluency growth within our organizations. A lot of times we start doing that and we go, got it. Done. Oh, we got it. We had the sessions. Yeah, like we did the sessions, we have the paperwork, we put it into our strategic training tracking system, we can run trends and all that stuff on our training, oh my God, look, everyone, we have 100% training, boom, pizza, fireworks, everybody's got hop, everybody is a hop master now, yeah, and then they don't got it. I see this with big organizations, I see this with small organizations, we think we got it, because there's a couple things happening here, in my opinion. A couple things that I think are really important. So I usually spend a lot of time with folks that are leading hop efforts internal to their organizations. Yeah. Yeah. So they've been a nerd for a minute. Yeah. They've gone down the rabbit hole. They've read the books. Sometimes they've read them more than once. They've listened to this podcast like a bunch. Like they might listen to this episode two or three times and share it and get into it. Yeah. Yeah. This is something that we do, right? This is something that we do. Myself included in this. Okay. I'm including myself here as well. We go to the sessions, we go to the talks, internal and external, we go to the conferences, and then somebody like me or any of us, right, that do this, we come in and we have that conversation and we go deep into hop fundamentals. We talk deeply about learning teams. We talk deeply about these ideas, these better assumptions, these things. And then we're sitting there and we're going, I got it. I've heard this. God, I've got this. Oh, I've got this. And what we really do in our mind is we say, I got this. So everybody in this freaking room's got this. That's not true. That's just not true. I promise you that is completely untrue. And I know that because I do that to myself sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. So I talk about this stuff a lot, like every week, a lot. And many of you out there listening in your organization, you talk about this stuff a lot. Every week, sometimes every day, a lot. Yeah, we talk about this a bunch. And I catch myself, and see if this resonates with you a bit. I catch myself in conversations. While giving keynotes or teaching workshops, I find myself going, I don't need to say that. That's too simplistic. Nah, I don't need to bring that up. I'm sure they understand that. I'm making an assumption that they know it because I know it. I think we do that internally to our organizations quite a bit when we get on this journey. I think we assess our progress much farther ahead than what it is. what it actually is, right? And we do that because we know it. We got it. We sleep. We eat, breathe, and sleep this. We got it. So everybody else must got it too. And look, I've got the fancy pants records from my fancy pants learning management system that shows that everybody's had this, so they better got it. It doesn't work that way, right? So where I'm going with this is I think we fool ourselves. We come up with that strategic plan of human and organizational performance excellence. Yep, we come up with that. Yep. And then we work that plan to perfection. Yep. Okay, we got it. Look at the report. We 100% trained. Yep. Okay, everybody's been, air quotes here, 100% trained. Okay, so you went out and you talked to them about, oh, got it. Got it. We're good. We're ready to move on. Okay. What I find with that almost always is we fool ourselves. As we said, we fool ourselves. We think that they've got it because we've got it. And we make that assumption because, yeah, we think this is old news to us. I live this stuff. I breathe this stuff. I eat this stuff. I lead through this stuff. So everybody else must. Again, a lot of times we're just tricking ourselves. It feels so simple. It feels so clean. We checked the box. We worked the plan. We've given everybody the HOP training. And now we assume our frontline leaders, our mid-level leaders, our managers, our directors, our vice presidents, our senior vice presidents, our COOs and CEOs, we just assume, okay, they got this now. On to the next thing. On to the next thing. And then what I find is as I spend time in these organizations, especially the ones that think they got it, as I spend time talking to employees throughout the organization, there are obvious signs that they don't got it. Yeah, because we didn't invest enough time. We didn't invest enough time into those conversations. We worked the strategic structured agenda. We worked that through the strategic HOP plan of implementation and excellence awesomeness. And we did all that once and we checked the box, just like we checked the box with every other piece of freaking corporate rollout something that we've ever done, and we think it's going to work because that's how we've always done things. How has that worked out for us with all of our things that we call programs and initiatives and posters? It's not. So first off, we have to recognize, and I hope that we do recognize this. I know that if you're here listening to this, you recognize this, right? Is that first off, the plan is flexible, right? That's the first piece. The second piece is that HOP is not a program to manage. Duh. We talk about that ad nauseum. The other piece that I think is super duper important is that it's not something that you can roll out because it's not a program to manage. It's different and you have to approach it a bit differently. Should you do that human and organizational performance fluency building training session something? Yeah, of course I think you should. I think that's a great way to introduce those concepts. Is it a one and done? Usually not. I mean, seriously, it truly is. Knowing this from an internal perspective, it's usually not. We try to jump the gun and say, okay, got it, on to the next thing. What's the next step in the strategic plan of human and organizational performance action that we're going to do exactly like we've done every other stupid program that's failed us? Sorry, that was a bit of a rant. This is a bit of a rant, I think, all over. But it's just frustrating, right? Frustrating. Maybe I don't need that extra cold brew coffee. I don't know. But we don't spend enough time growing fluency. We look at it as I did the sessions. It's over. Let's move on and talk about something else. And again, I think a lot of that comes from this thought that I've heard it a bunch. Back to this. This is a rant directed just as much at me as anybody else. Is that I've taught it a bunch. So everybody else must get this. And that's just not true. Can you really shift these deeply rooted underlying beliefs and assumptions that are buried deep, 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 deep within your organization by going out and doing a couple sessions and saying, we got it? I've not seen that happen that way. Just from personal experience, I've not seen that happen that way. And when we try to do that, every organization that I've spent time in that said, no, we got that part of it. We had those sessions. We're 100% trained. I go out and I find a lot of interesting conversations that tell me that they don't got it because we didn't invest enough time into not just training, but the conversation and the follow-up and the support that comes along with building HOP fluency. Because what we're really saying when we say build HOP fluency isn't go out and train people. It's that long, slow trudge through the mud of changing those collective underlying beliefs, assumptions, and ideas within our organizations. It's long and it's slow, right? It is. It truly is. Now, to know where you're at with this, truly, for me, it's this. This is the biggest and best indicator that I have found yet. The conversations that we have within our organizations will change. They change. What you hear, literally hear, the words that we use change, right? They change. As we start to have events, when people bring us information, and as leaders, right, this is from a leader perspective, when someone brings a leader that story, that like, hey, yeah, this happened, it's because Jane messed up, the leader doesn't say, well, yeah, we need to really get on to Jane. That sounds like it. The leader says, wait a second, Jane messed up. That feels a little boring. Go find out more information. Come back. Bring me something else. There's got to be something deeper than that. That's the shift. We start hearing that conversation change. We don't say, well, you know, that's if that thing ever breaks down, if that thing ever fails. We start having a conversation that sounds more like when. When that really critical piece of equipment lets us down, how do we make sure that it doesn't go all the way wrong? How do we make sure that it doesn't kill a bunch of people? How do we make sure that it doesn't cause us 6 months worth of downtime and bankrupt our organization? We shift from if to when. We shift from who to what. Instead of who failed and what do they deserve based off of how bad that failure was or how bad that failure could have been, we start asking what failed, what can be improved, what can be made better, what do people need to be successful, and on and on and on and on. You know the thing that I'm talking about, right? You hear those principles, you hear those ideas, you hear those assumptions change. You hear those assumptions change, and as they change, our tactics, our approaches begin to change. If you're not hearing that shift, if you're saying, I did the training, we're 100%, but then somebody like me goes out there and has those conversations and they go, yeah, we had that training, but man, oh man, they sure like that stick and carrot. Man, oh man, they still treat us like kids. Man, oh man, they tell us just to follow the rules and try harder. Then you don't got it. You don't got it. So I guess where I'm going with this is HOP training bad? No. Is it a one and done? I don't think so. And again, I don't mean just in a formalized training setting, something, put everybody in some uncomfortable chair and keep them there for 8 hours and talk at them about human and organizational performance. What I really mean is the continued conversation over time. Again, don't just do it once and assume that folks get it, because we might get it. We might have been doing this for a minute, again, myself included. But does that mean that everybody in our organization gets it? I don't think so. I don't think so. We all are on this journey as individuals as well, right? Sometimes I need that conversation. Sometimes I need you in the organization, that HOP nerd person that works in that company. They might need you to just sit down with them and have that informal conversation. They might need to hear it in that meeting. They might need to hear those principles, those ideas, those better assumptions. They might need to read it. They might need to hear it from the VP. It's not just a one and done. We're doing HOP now. We're a HOP-based company. We're HOP SMEs. It just doesn't work like that. We know this, right? We know this. So again, I think that is the absolute hardest part of the journey. Getting started is a little rough, right? Again, go read the article. I'm not going to dive too much into those pieces of it because I wanted to rant about this. Getting started can be a bit tough, getting over that initial hurdle of new, different, strange, weird, right? But then when you move into that HOP fluency, growth of these better ideas, better assumptions over time piece, we forget the overtime thing. Again, I think the way that we remedy that right out of the gate is recognizing that HOP is not a program. It is something different. HOP is a operating philosophy, right? It's really about targeting better ideas, better beliefs, better assumptions, right? So we can create an environment in which learning is possible, in which improvement is possible. You know, that environment where people can tell us the truth. They can teach us the good, the bad, the ugly, the scary, the nasty, the weird, the strange of their work, right? We're targeting those better ideas, those better beliefs, those better assumptions. It's different. It's not something you do down through your organization that you do down to people. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And if you approach it that way, you will be disappointed. I promise you, you will be absolutely 110% disappointed. Okay. Promise. Super duper 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 promise. It's not something that we do down two. It's not a program to manage. It's not a buy this off the shelf, throw it into the organization, check the box that we did the training, move on with life. Human and organizational performance being better ideas, beliefs, and assumptions. It's something that we grow over time within our organization. It's something that we grow over time within our organization. Let me say that again. Let me preach here for a minute. It is something that we grow over time in our organizations. Okay. Can you do that by checking the box? Nope. Promise you. Back to things that are going to leave you disappointed. You will absolutely leave you frustrated and disappointed. Don't assume just because you got it and you've been reading about this stuff for years and you've been working on this for years that everybody else has got it, right? So don't draw that assumption. I do that. We all do that because we talk about it a bunch and sometimes it leaves us a little bored. Let's be real, right? Like, I know this. I've said this a bunch. I've talked about this a bunch. And I do that when I have these conversations, when I have these talks, when I do these keynotes. I'll say something that to me might feel a little boring because I've said it a bunch. And that's the thing that people come up to me and they're like, oh my gosh, that. I'm like, that? And they're like, that. I'm like, really? And they're like, yes, really, that. So don't assume. Don't make that assumption about the people that you're having these conversations with or with your organization as a whole overall. Now, back to this being a journey, right? This is not a program to manage. It's an operating philosophy. It's better beliefs, ideas, and assumptions. Right? This being a journey, not something you can roll out, not something that you can just check the box and say, we're 100% trained. Somebody call the pizza company. We're going to have a freaking pizza party. Yeah, that kind of thing that we normally do. You're going to take two steps forward, and then sometimes you're going to take 10 steps back. You're right, especially here at this point of building hot fluency, because you've just introduced the ideas. You're just getting people to starting to have these conversations, because here's how this works, right? You're going to go have that initial session, right? You're going to go have that initial session. And I'm going to, let me back up a bit before I dive into the part that I was getting ready to dive into. But you're going to have these sessions and people are going to leave a lot of times with more questions than they have answers. And they're going to go back to their shop and then they're going to start kicking these ideas around in their little groups, right? They're going to start teaching each other and having these conversations over time. And then you're going to be supporting these conversations over time. And you're going to be supporting that through the messaging within your organization, maybe some added workshops, some added training. You're going to be putting out videos. You as a senior leadership team and as a leadership team all throughout that hierarchy within your organization, we're starting to respond differently to events where we're responding rather than reacting, right? As people bring us answers that don't quite fit in with our better assumptions around, like, oh, well, this is what Bob did. Bob's to blame, when we're saying, oh, bring me something more interesting. Like, the information that you're starting to receive is a bit different. It's a bit more interesting, right? And kind of on and on and on. And this kind of grows and grows and spreads and grows and moves and shifts over time. And back to the point that I was making just a second ago is you take a huge charge forward and then you fall flat on your face and everything passes you by. And now you're back here. Progress ebbs and flows. Can you truly shift? Back to that question, can you truly shift your organization's assumptions through a couple training sessions? No. And again, this isn't me sitting here saying, hey, call me and I'm going to come do a bunch of training sessions with you. That's actually the opposite of what I do most of the time. A lot of times I get that call and I come hang out and we do some of these sessions, or we do some longer workshops with folks that are really focused on, you know, being those bright spots within your organization that are going to help you carry this message farther, your little hop army or your operational learning team or whatever you want to call that. And then those folks take this and continue to have those conversations. And a lot of times when I get that call, like, I'll go do the sessions, like, we go hang out, we did this for a week together, and then next week they call me and they're like, when can you come back and talk to this same group of people again. And a lot of times my recommendation is, what's like, turn this down a little bit. I know you're pumped, I know you're excited, but give them a little bit of time, give them a little bit of space, let them experiment with this stuff, support them, give them tools, give them what they need, support them. Really, it is just that, just support them, but let them go play with these ideas and figure out some of it on their own. Let them nerd out. They left sometimes with more questions than they have answers, as we said. Let them go down that rabbit hole a bit on their own. And then once you start to develop a bit of that maturity and that thirst kind of comes back and like, hey, we need something a little bit deeper. Bring us something a little bit deeper this time. Call me. call me. So I guess to start to wrap up this really rambly rant, and it has been a rant, and I've not done one of these rants in a minute. But every now and again, you know this, you do this stuff too. You do this stuff internal to your organization. Some of you listening do this external, and you're in the exact same shoes that I'm in. Every now and again, you come across something that you're like, urgh, and you come across that thing enough to where you feel like you need to talk about it. And this is talking about it. So I hope that my rambly message, my little rambly rant, really helps us to outgrow that idea, right? Because that's probably the most frustrating part that I find supporting organizations on their human and organizational performance journey is they'll say it, this isn't a program to manage, but we're going to manage this just like a program. Okay. No, I don't think you're moving in the right direction. Well, who are you to tell us that we're moving? Well, you called me. you called me. Here's my humble opinion. Sometimes maybe my not so humble opinion, but it is my opinion, right? It is my thought here based on all the stuff that I've seen that I think you might be moving in the wrong direction. You can say it's not a program to manage, but then if you manage it like a program, you treat it like a program, you go down this path and say, we did the training 100%. We threw the pizza party all as well. Everybody's 100% hop trained. And we just move on with life and say, we got hop, what's next? I think you're kind of missing the point. I think you're kind of missing the point, right? I don't think you're doing yourselves any favor. You're definitely not helping your organization progress on its hop journey. And a lot of times you find that maybe you then move on to something that, again, everybody's not got it, but you move on to something a bit more advanced or a bit more deeper in our space of human organizational performance, and you left a bunch of people behind. And then those people get frustrated. And then those people, because we've all been there in an organization and got left behind at some point with some of these ideas because we've been on the receiving end of one of those programs, and we go, is it me? Am I just stupid? What am I missing? That's the very last position that you want to put people in. That's the very last position that you want to put people in. So again, rambly rant. Let's put a bow on it, shall we? Hop's not a program to manage. You've got to genuinely believe that, and you genuinely have to live up to that. You have to approach it a bit differently. You have to approach it a bit wildly differently, right? You can't just say, well, every other program we did the CBT and we roll out the CBT and then, we're done. That's it. Everybody, we watch the number go dink, 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 think until we get to 100% and then everybody's trained, then we move on to life. It doesn't work that way. Support people in those conversations, support them in that learning over time, because really what you're doing is you're not just training them to do something, because hop is not really something even that we do. Hop is how we think about things. It's how we think about things. It's underlying beliefs and assumptions that then influence our approaches and our tactics, right? If you're rolling it out like a program and you're just training them to do something different, you're on the wrong end of that scale. You're just telling them to go do something different, but you haven't really spent enough time growing that fluency. You've not spent enough time growing those better beliefs and assumptions. So don't put the cart before the horse. Take your time in this embedding process. Take your time. As soon as you think, well, I've got it, so they've got it, pause. You are in weird territory. And I promise you, as soon as you think that, you're going to usually discover that they don't got it. And really what you're finding out is that you don't got it, right? Because you're assuming that they got it, right? That's a bit of a mess to say out loud, but you get where I'm coming from. Take your time. Take your time. That doesn't mean just doing a bunch of formalized trainings. It means taking your time and having the conversation, right? Having that conversation over time. We know this is how things change. We don't want this to be how things change. So we pretend that this is not how things change. We like to pretend that change happens through strategic corporate initiatives, but it's not how things change. It's just not. Do the training. Yeah, of course. Do the workshop. Send your people out there, buy them some books, get them some podcasts. But what really happens when they leave those sessions is the magic part. That's the part that we have to support over time and let it grow. Plant the seeds. Plant the seeds, water them, let it grow. Plant corn, and then don't be surprised when corn grows, right? Give it time, because that's where the magic happens. Those conversations, that's how things actually change. One conversation at a time. And we hate it. We hate it that that's how things change. We just wish that we could do our strategic corporate initiative and just plug better assumptions into our organization. But that's not how it works. No matter how much you wished that that's how it works, no matter how much you want to force reality into your perspective, your worldview, it will never work. It has never worked that way with these type of things, and it never will. Support the magic bit. Support the conversation over time. Support growing hot fluency over time. Start with not viewing this as a program to manage, and then actually treat it like something differently instead of just saying it and then going out and managing it like a program. Rambly rant over. I hope you have a lovely day. That's all I got. And again, just support that piece. It's the hardest part of the journey. And whatever your assessment is for how long you think it's going to take, you can probably just about guarantee, almost here. I might not put money on it, but I would guess, this is a guesstimate, whatever your assessment is on how long that growing hot fluency piece is going to be, double it. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hot Nerd Podcast, the Hot Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehotnerd.com or send me an email, thehotnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.